pretty continue to follow the money now, in a manner of speaking. Questions have been asked for weeks. How has the Yemeni president, Ali Saleh, managed to stay in power? They're asking the same questions about Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, despite the NATO air campaign or the unrest that continues in Yemen. Both of these leaders have levers to pull. And in the case of Libya, he's got money and finances. Muammar Gaddafi does. In fact, weeks ago, there was a report that he had actually stashed an enormous amount of gold just across the border in Chad, which gives him liquidity to actually pay his patronage and his militia forces and whatever else he needs to maintain power in Tripoli. But Robert Palmer joins us now from London. He's a campaigner with Global Witness with maybe even more insights as to how Libya has managed to maintain its cash flow. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
What have you discovered? And I gather that part of your documentation comes from some leaked information.
We published today a document that shows the investment position of the Libyan, it's called the Libyan Investment Authority. It's their sovereign wealth fund. It's how they invest their oil revenues overseas. And this document dates back till last year, but it shows how they managed to invest over $53 billion in a number of top flight financial institutions. So you've got HSBC there, you've got Goldman Sachs, you've got JP Morgan. What this document really shows is how the world's top financial institutions were happy to do business with the Gaddafi regime, despite the obvious concerns over corruption and his human rights record. I mean, it's good to say that at the moment, these funds, the majority of these funds are probably frozen, and so he wouldn't have direct access to the money that we're revealing today, although it's unclear where all of these funds are actually based. We don't have geographical locations for a lot of the money.
And, of course, the key word there is probably frozen. But at the very least, this document does show the enormous stake that the Western financial and European and American financial institutions had in Colonel Gaddafi right up to the moment of this NATO air campaign, correct?
Exactly. So in 2006, when the world's political establishment opened its arms to Gaddafi, the world's financial establishment also opened its arms to Gaddafi and his billions. So this document shows a myriad of investments across the world. He's got about $1 billion of U.S. Treasury bonds. He even owns a chunk of a British supermarket chain called Tesco. This is quite a diverse range of investments. I mean, one thing that's very interesting for me is actually his investments haven't done very well. He had about $1 billion invested in the derivatives market, of which he lost 98% of them.
Wow.
So it shows a mixed picture, but I think the real thing that comes out for me is the breadth of the number of banks that are willing to do business with him.
And Gaddafi's judgment has never been a model on any level, and financially the idea that he would make poor investments is certainly hardly a surprise. But what's interesting to me is, based on the information that you have, what are the limitations and the possible obstructions by some of these financial institutions to actually freezing these assets? Are there complications that we might not know about where freezing of assets may actually cause layoffs in individual companies or would actually cause financial investments to fail that would further complicate the sovereign wealth situation in Europe?
I don't think that's as likely as the fact that he might, the possibility that he might be able to access some of the money in the slightly more obscure Middle Eastern or Arabic banks that are listed here. I think I would be under no doubt that HSBC and Goldman Sachs would have frozen these funds. However, Gaddafi had billions of dollars in his own central bank, but also in banks in Bahrain and in other Arab and Middle Eastern countries. And it's unclear to me whether he would still have access to those funds. I also think this document is important because it raises questions. You know, why is it until today that the Libyan people had to wait until they know where their funds are? You know, it's only because a Western NGO has got hold of this document and published it that the people in Libya actually know how their money is being managed.
And that NGO is Global Witness, and we're talking with Robert Palmer from Global Witness, who's published this document that we're talking about here, which shows the Libyan investment portfolio and how many Western and European banks are involved in Libyan investments. How much or how serious or how significant is confidentiality as a tool here to conceal the nature of these investments, both from the Libyan people and from governments, which might want banks to take even stronger action?
So our financial system is based and predicated on secrecy. You know, it's all about the confidentiality. And I think there's been almost a confusion when it comes to this sort of money. This is public money. This is state money. This is money that belongs to the people of Libya. And yet, under our existing banking laws, the banks are, first of all, under no obligation to disclose this to the people of Libya and actually are legally prevented from disclosing this information, which is why we are calling on governments to require banks to disclose the state assets they manage. This is the money of the people of Libya. They have a right to know where it is.
So this goes beyond simply Libya. Are you saying, Robert Palmer, that it is easier to freeze the assets of a Muammar Gaddafi or a despot who's killing the civilians in his own country? It's easier to freeze those assets than it is to force banks to disclose those assets?
Under our current legal system, that's right, yes. I think there are very few countries that are leading the way. I mean, for example, Norway is very good at publishing how it invests its sovereign wealth funds, but most countries in the world aren't. And the point that we really want to make is that regimes such as Libya's are propped up and sustained by access to Western banks. You know, Western banks who are willing to do business with people like Gaddafi allow him to stay in power.
We're talking with Robert Palmer, a campaigner with Global Witness, that's published a document that gives us insights into who has invested with Muammar Gaddafi's regime in Libya and where has Libya put its assets. And it's a list of stellar blue chip banks, including Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, HSBC Holdings and Societe Generale, as much as $53 billion, perhaps. Robert Palmer, thanks so much.